You know, sometimes we win, sometimes we lose.
That's right.
But what I can guarantee you is that when we come here and worship, what God hears is beauty. He loves to hear our praises and his thanks. Sometimes it's a rough day. Sometimes it goes smooth.
And you know, it shows us kind of what we need to do. You know, we need to learn those courses. What happens if they come and the technology don't work or they take all our books away?
Yeah.
What do we do? You know? We need to know those well enough to sing them by heart. And I know we just found out I didn't know them all. find something here. I don't know which one of these they have me use. Try this one. No, in a way, it's good for us. Apparently, mine's working, huh? You guys can hear me? All right, let me get this up a little bit. I guess I should have done this before. So, what's that? Yeah, fumble around. So, they got a hearing assist thing for Carl, but Carl, can you hear with mine at all either? So it must not be hooked up right or something, or maybe we don't know how to use it yet, being it's the first week they've tried it. But let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day, and Lord, even though we might not have everything all together here this morning as far as having a lot of people here that know how to run sound equipment and have a nice worship band and all that stuff, Lord, we still come before you and we ask you to have your way in our lives. And Lord, that you would teach us, that you'd guide us, that you'd help us understand your word. And Lord, that you will help us to worship you and praise you in our hearts, Lord. And that, Lord, you would be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in our lives, Lord. You'd help us to follow you and serve you all the days of our lives. So, Lord, just help us to do what we can. And Lord, just we know that you're with us. Whether a big group or whether we're a small group, Lord, you're here amongst us. And I know that you want to work in our lives. You want to encourage us and help us and be with us. So Lord, help us as we look into your word. And we just praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I had some great pictures I was going to show you. But you're not going to get to see them because we couldn't figure that part out either. But that's okay. So, you guys would have really liked it because there was some nice bucks in there in this pictures. There was a few of them come into our place. When was that, Teresa? A week and a half ago or something? They come in like four of great big nice ones. And one of them was probably one of the bigger ones I've seen in the 50 years that I've lived here and stuff. But anyway, so I won't be able to show you those, but what happened to us is this last week we needed to go over to the coast and see Teresa's sisters, and her older sister's going to have to be in a 24-hour assisted living kind of place. In fact, they're moving her in there today. Memory care. So we were over there. I don't know about you guys, but going over there is like taking your life in your hands. Just driving on the freeway and the roads going north. I'm so glad when we get this side of Wenatchee, you know. And we're going down that freeway, and the trucks are supposed to be doing 60, and they're all going 75. And the cars are all going faster than that, and I'm just like, oh, man, this is scaring the living daylights out of me. We don't get over there a lot, but it was good. And the Lord is so good, because we were praying about where we could stay or how could we go over there reasonably cost, you know. Because if you go over there, her sisters live in Bellevue, if you go over there and get a motel room, it's going to cost you $150, $200 or maybe more than that even a day for a room. And if you stay there, might be all right one night, but if you're going to stay there a few days, that can get expensive. And you got to buy all your food, you know, and stuff. And so we were praying about it. We thought about taking the trailer, but you can't find any camping spots because you're too close to Seattle and they're all full and you got to make reservations and all this stuff. So anyway, so I had a friend that I ride horses with, and he called up one day and he says, "You know, my wife and I have been talking, and you guys just need to go over there. And my mom's house is on Mercer Island, and you guys just need to go there and stay there. It's like 15 minutes to your relative's place." And he said, it's nothing special. It's just a place for you to stay, but you can stay there anytime you want." And we're like, wow, the Lord provided for us a place to stay. And it isn't a fancy place. One of the older places. There's some older houses of people who lived there for a long, long time, you know, years and years, 40, 50 years. And then there's all this new millionaire places, you know, that are expensive. But it provided a need for us, and it was really nice of them to do that. And it worked out great, you know, and we had to still buy some stuff, but God's so good. He loves us and he cares for us and he watches over us. And today I want to read in Psalms. But so anyway, I guess what I was going to tell you is we went in the basement door there and went into the where we were going to stay, the bedroom. And it was my friend's room, I guess, when he was a kid. Up on the wall, there was this picture. And to tell you a little bit, before we went, I'm like, "This is going to be a busy week. Lord, I need your help to have a sermon." And what I do is I usually pray about it and then just try to do a lot of reading in the Word and looking at different stuff and asking the Lord, "What do you want me to pray? I mean, what do you want me to preach about?" And so we had that few days and before we left, and I'm like, "This is the only time I'm going to have to prepare or anything." And I didn't seem to come up with anything. There's lots, you know, we can open the Word and get something out of it, okay? But it seems like he can show you stuff and it just stands out to you. And it's like, this is what you should do. So I walk in the bedroom and up on the wall is this picture. And it was nothing fancy. It was kind of like a poster. But it was two deer and one of them drinking out of the water. And it had Psalms 42, 1 and 2 underneath. And I'm like, it just hit me. That's what you need to do. So I want to read that to you today. And it goes like this. It says, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with you?" And it goes on there. And we'll talk about it a little bit. But have you ever watched deer? My place, we got a great place. It's a big meadow land around us. And we can see really well out of our windows. And we see deer all the time. And we've even had this year like a herd of about 40 elk that come in there once in a while, and we never seen any elk till about 5 years ago. And then they start, I think probably the wolves chased them off the mountains up there, the huckleberries and stuff. But anyway, these deer come in and you can see them and they'll play, you know, they'll chase each other and paw at each other, and once in a while you'll see them stand up and bat at each other and stuff. But then once in a while, you'll see something chasing one. or they'll be scared or something, and they'll run like crazy. And I've seen them before with their tongue hanging out, and they're just panting, just going, you know, really hard. And, you know, God uses illustrations from life and earth and nature and stuff to show us these principles and these things of Scripture so we can better understand them. And when I used to farm and cut hay and stuff, I'd cut a field down till there was kind of just not too much in the middle. Because the little fawns, they'd always keep running in, and I didn't want to run over them. So when I'd get close to being done, but yet you still had something for them to hide in, I'd get off and walk through there, try to chase them out of there. And, man, they'll scare you to death, man, because you can't see them. And you walk right, like, from here to that chair, and all of a sudden they jump up and they squeal. And, man, I just about jump out of my shoes. And they'll take off and they'll run like crazy. And they'll go dive into one of the places where you've been cutting, and then you won't even see them again. And those things, it reminds me, though, of God's protection, and it reminds me of how a deer, when they run like that, because we've had them down in the lot before, like they'd get separated from their mother. They'd be running around in there, and it's like they freak out. It's like their nerves are just like, you know what I mean? It's just like they can freak out to the point they start going out of it, you know, kind of, I don't know what you'd call it, but they get really bad really quick. And so anyway, I've seen them that way, and it's just like their body is just pumping, I guess. But when we look at this scripture and we think about thirsting, I'm like, it's a good illustration for us. But let's go back and let's kind of look at the background of Psalms for a minute. Psalms is organized into like five books. Okay, I didn't write down which ones, but it's like 1 through 41 is one book. And Psalms 42 is the start of the second book, and I can't remember now. It went up to like 70 or 72 or something like that. And anyway, it's broke into like five different books. And like I said, it's the start of the first book in Psalms 42. The title, if you look at in your Bible, most of the places have like a title above where it says Psalms 42. And it has a word, and I'm not going to probably say it right, okay? I'm terrible with words. But I think the way you say it would be kind of Michelle, maybe, M-A-S-C-H-I-L, and it means to be wise or skillful. This may mean that it's a book, may mean that this is a teaching psalm, okay, is what it's kind of saying in some of the commentaries. And in this title, there's also a phrase, the son of Korah, K-O-R-A-H. And that word's used according to 2 Chronicles 20:19. They were a Levitical family of singers. And then in the Haley Bible Handbook, it says Psalms 42 and 43, that they formed one verse, but one poem that was organized by David into a musical guild. I don't know what that means, but I don't know what the word guild means, but this is what they're saying anyway. That the sons of Korah were a family of poetic Levites. In Erdman's handbook of the Bible, it says The psalmist is in exile in the north, surrounded by godless men who mocked his faith. And if you read down in those verses, there's some places like, didn't write that down where it was, but I remember there was a couple different places in it. They were kind of mocking. Let's see if I can find it. Where is your God? Okay, where is your God? They mark him. And so they're mocking his faith. The psalmist is dispirited and contrasts past joys that he's had with the unhappy present time. He is filled with longing for God's presence. And as bad as things are, faith and hope still break through. Okay? So I want us to think today, maybe some of you might be discouraged. Maybe you're going through some hard things in your life. Maybe you're just discouraged in some other way. But God is always there. He's always with us. One commentary says, the psalm is a psalm which David sang when he was in exile and desired to return to Jerusalem. It also says that it might be a psalm for the backsliding Jews. The psalmist does not abandon his God. He does just the opposite. He consistently declares his fervent desire to be with and to live for his God. It brings that out in Psalms 42, verses 1 and 2, verses 4, verses 5 and 6, and 11. And so it's kind of like my wife and I, a couple weeks ago, we were talking about back in Genesis. I was thinking there was a place in Genesis, I thought it was, or maybe some other place in the Bible. If any of you know, please let me know, because I thought it would make a good sermon. It was in the garden in Genesis chapter 3, after Adam and Eve had sinned, and God came down to the garden and they hid. And I don't remember now exact wording, but it kind of infers that God was coming down to the garden and communicating with them at different times. It talks about being in the evening in that particular scripture. It doesn't say he came down every day, but it sounds like they were communicating a lot. It kind of infers that, but I don't know. Can't say that for positive. But it got us to talking and thinking about how much do we communicate with God? The God that saved my soul, the God that I say not rules my life, but leads my life. The God that has done so much for me, including keeping me safe this last week going over to that place. And all the things he does for us. How much time do I really spend praying, reading, communicating with God? And we see in the Old Testament where he would come down and he would communicate with different ones at different times. And now in the New Testament, how he sent the Holy Spirit to live within us, and we can communicate with him anytime. And so when I read this, it makes me think about how much desire do I really have to communicate with him? We can go along and people will say sometimes, I just don't feel God. Or I just don't hear from him. Well, maybe a lot of that's our fault. because maybe we don't spend time trying to communicate with Him. Yes. 1:8, read that for us, will you? Cool of the evening. I believe it said. You lose it. Yeah, we're having the same difficulty as we had before. Yeah, I think it was 3. I thought it was in chapter 3. Okay. We had to blame it on somebody, you know, so we blame it on our wife or our woman or whatever. It isn't right, but that's what happened. So, yeah, but I was thinking it had said somewhere else that he came down and supped with them or something, you know, but I never could find it, and maybe it's not there, but it does show that he did come down that time, and it kind of sounds like he was coming down maybe on a more regular basis. But here in this psalm, we see that he didn't just get mad at God, turn his back on him, or whatever. It was kind of the opposite. He consistently and fervently desired to be and to live for his God. Just like the deer desires the water. And, you know, if you stop drinking, you're going to die. So when we talk about our communication with God, and, you know, prayer, what's prayer? Prayer is just talking to God. We can do it anytime, anywhere. And if we don't drink, you might say, in the spiritual water, we're going to go downhill, you know. So, in Ephesians 4, 22 and 20 through 24, I marked these, but I probably won't find them now. You guys probably have a filing cabinet at your house, right? You should see my Bible. It looks like a filing cabinet. I got all these papers in there. Then I start flipping pages and I got them marked, and the next thing they're all over the place. Ephesians 4, 22 goes like this. You were taught with regard to your former ways of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So when I go back here to Psalms again, and it says in verse 2 about pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God, when I can go meet with you. Or when can I go meet with you? And it talks about, maybe it's in the last part. The last verse in that psalm says, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. And so we get discouraged, but we don't have to stay there. We need to desire to drink that living water, you might say. So as I was laying, so I saw this picture, and later when we went to bed, I'm laying in bed and I'm thinking about it, because I'm like, okay, that's what the Lord wants me to do. And I'm thinking about it, and you try to visualize, okay, how's this work? The Lord wants us to take these things off. And I could kind of was picturing somebody taking something off and the putting on. And I'm like, it's in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, so if you go up to this guy and you grab his shirt and you start pulling on it, does it come off really easy? Maybe. But I see you got kind of a heavier shirt on this morning, and I'll bet you that shirt don't rip very easy if I just grab the sleeve and try to pull it off of there, you know? And I was thinking about, so it's not easy to let go of some of the stuff that's in our lives. And like these shirts here, they're a little heavier too, and they're, I don't know what they're made out of, nylon or something. It'd be hard to rip this one. I got some at home you could grab and they'd rip pretty easy. But I'm thinking about people struggle with things in their life. They struggle maybe with some of the old habits and some of the things that hang on after we accept Christ. So it might not change real fast. One guy that I knew one time, he was pretty rough, and some people were complaining to me about this guy, and I'm like, in my mind I'm saying, he might be rough still, but there's bigger change happened in his life than these other people that were complaining about him, you know. And he was rough, but he was a whole lot rougher before he accepted Christ. But God was working in him and changing him and moving in his life. Well, what are we like? Do we sometimes we want to judge people? I mean, I struggle with that sometimes. I want to see people really serving God. I want to see people panting after Him, just like it's talking about in the Psalms here. That just like a deer would be panting, that I would want, I'd be thirsty for His Word. I'd be thirsty to communicate with Him, thirsty to listen to Him and walk in His righteous and holy ways that it talks about in the Bible. But yet when we struggle, sometimes it takes a long time to work through our garbage and our stuff in our life. And then, so then I got to thinking about the started thinking about the putting on. And I'm like, the putting on might not be so easy either. You know? Just like it's hard to rip those things off and it's just don't come off. But putting one on, I don't know, most of us are pretty old, so you guys probably will understand this illustration. So I get up in the morning and I'm so darn stiff and hurt so much that it's hard to get dressed sometimes even. So I'm hanging on to something and I'm trying to pull my pants on one at a time and get my feet in my shoes. And I'm like, that's a good illustration of that. Because it's hard as we get older to put on things. Put on your coat sometimes. Maybe your shoulders are gone. And you know, I can get my arm in one sleeve and then I'm digging around back here trying to get my arm in the other sleeve. And it starts to hurt. And so maybe we go through some hurting and some stuff as we even try to put on this new life that we've accepted. And so it's maybe not so easy to put on either. Put on the new life. Last week we talked a little bit about being built into a holy priesthood, a holy nation, and there was a couple other things there too that he called us. And I'm like, man, I don't see myself as that. But that's how God sees us. And he helps us to work through all of these things. In Matthew 6:33, let's go back. I missed one thing. Okay, so okay, Christians should should hunger for the things of God and the things of the world that we seem to get so tangled up in, those things can destroy us or they can defeat us and keep us just feeling maybe like this psalmist did, discouraged and feel like you're torn down, stuff like that. Matthew 5:6, I'd like to read Matthew 5:6, and it's Beatitudes, and it says this: blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Another place where it talks about thirst. So do we hunger and thirst to communicate with the Lord? Do we hunger and thirst to find out what He wants? Do we hunger and thirst and let Him change us and mold us into what we want to be? The foundation for all godly living is to hunger and thirst after His righteousness. To have a heart to really seek His face. There's another scripture that talks about it a little bit. Matthew 6:33, and it says this. 6:33. One more page. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you as well. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day is enough trouble of its own. Seeking. I'll have to say that I don't seek enough to have that communication, like if God was coming down and meeting with them in the garden, let's say from time to time or daily or whatever it happened to be. We know it was at least this one time. But if I seek Him, He's always there. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. If we are followers of Christ, we are urged to seek God's kingdom above all else, His kingdom and His righteousness. Jesus is pictured as the living water that will quench our thirst in there in Psalms. Go back to that. Back in Psalms. He will quench our thirst. Ephesians. Oh, I already did that part. Okay. So, He's pictured as this person that will quench our thirst. He will meet our needs and He'll take care of us. But let's just read that psalm one more time. As a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for You, O God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God, when I can go and meet with God. Let's pray. Lord God, we pray You would give us a heart to thirst after You, Lord. Lord, we don't want to be a people that just say the words of salvation, we might say, and just go on living the way we are or were. We want to be a people, Lord, that would thirst after You, thirst after Your righteousness. That You would change us and mold us, Lord, as we go through life. The Lord, You would help us through the struggles because we seek after You and look to You, Lord. We can't do a lot of these things on our own, Father. Only You can change us. Lord, I pray that You would help us to be all that You want us to be. Lord, because Your word says we are a royal priesthood. Your word says we are a holy nation. Your word says we are a child of God. We're not talking about our country when we say a holy nation, Lord, but those of us that believe are a holy nation. Lord, we need You. We desire to thirst after You like the deer thirsts for the water, Lord. Because You are the living water. And You want to move and work in our lives. You want to draw us close. You want to have a close relationship with You, Lord. And yet we settle for so little. Help us, Lord. We need Your power and Your strength to seek after You, Lord. Let You guide our lives and help us through each day. So, Lord, I lift up each one of us here today, Lord. Ask that You'd give us that strong desire, Lord. Lord, we just praise You. Thank You for all You've done. Lord, we pray for this little church. Lord, You would just keep this little house of Yours open, Lord. Lord, we thank You for these people that have a desire to see this little church to grow and get back to where it used to be and even more, Lord. So I pray that You would just help them with that desire, Lord. Show them the way. Show them how to do that. And Lord, we just thank You this morning for Your word. Thank You that we can come together, pray together, and to worship You and to hear Your word, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we have song.
Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word. Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word.